Your power is a song, and one I've waited a very, very long time to hear, Nesta.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We're bringing you everything you need to know on what's trending on Bookstagram, Book Talk, and all your social media platforms, whether or not you should spend time reading that book. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Casey. Today, we are doing book four and a half, if you count A Court of Silver, what is it? A Court of Frost and Starlight?
Yeah, it'd be book five if you counted that one.
Yeah. A Court of Silver Flames by Sarah J. Maas, our favorite series, ACOTAR. So yeah, it's a continuation of our obsession. So I'm sure if you've listened to any of the other episodes, you already kind of know what to expect.
Yeah, but you're in luck. This is the last book in the series we're done for now.
So far. Another one, TBD. Anyway, A Court of Silver Flames is a little bit of a twist in the series, though, because it is told from Nesta's perspective, who is Feyre's sister, the main character of all the other books. And it's really just about Nesta's journey. Some of the conflict with Highburn and the Mortal Queens is still going on, but most of the book really centers around Nesta and her love story. Do you guys have reviews?
I have quite a long review, so I guess I'll go first. It is a 5-star review, so I don't know if y'all went lower, but I went 5-star, and I thought it was really cute. So this is Warda on Goodreads, and she says, just out of respect for this book, I feel like I should be going through a mourning phase, sit with the story a little while longer and let it simmer, rather than trying to move on. I can't even begin to tell you how much of a therapeutic reading experience this was. It had all the SJM trademarks, great friendships, great emphasis on found families, great character development, and even greater sex, of course. I'd call this part two of A Court of Mist and Fury. It echoes that book very much in terms of the themes discussed, such as severe depression and going through the process of healing from trauma, which she very much highlights is never linear. With Nesta, that depression took on a different, more aggressive form. Nesta is a stone-cold bitch. I relate. Her anger was fierce. I relate. She pushed people away with her attitude on purpose. I relate. Lack of self-worth. I relate. Extreme discomfort to emotion, so anger is the easiest option. I relate. And then she just goes on and basically is like, starts an essay of why Nesta is the greatest of all time. And I just kind of appreciated her very extensive essay on this book. So.
I love it, obviously. For those of you who don't know me personally, I fucking love this book. And I love that review. I second all points.
All right, Miss In Love With This Book. How about you go next?
All right. My review, 3 stars. Why couldn't she just slide down the steps?
That's it?
That's the whole review.
Oh my God. Just take a sled.
Why couldn't she just slide down the steps? Okay.
Speechless.
If you haven't read the book, you don't get it at all. It's not a big spoiler, but it won't make sense to you. So I have a second one because I just think that's hilarious. And if you already read the book, you'll get it. And it's very funny. So my second review is a 5-star. It's pretty basic. It just says, I really loved that SJM incorporated mental health in this book. Nesta's character development was really inspiring. Cassian already had my heart. It was only up from here. Praying there isn't a 3-year gap between the next novel.
SJM.
SJM always disappoints in at least one area. Here it is. Also, the spice level was insane. LOL. Bye-bye, YA. Welcome to adulthood with sparkle emojis.
I did see a review that I didn't choose that, but it said, I've never read a book with the word cock in it so many times. I was like, yeah. Sorry, I felt weird just saying that on here, but okay.
Especially, oh my gosh.
Okay, so I picked 2 very brief 5-star reviews, one to please you guys and one to please me, okay?
Oh my God.
So, first one's for you guys. Jordy is Farrell's review on Storygraph. I'm literally so sad it's over, and I don't care what any of you heifers have to say about this book unless it starts with SL and ends with AY.
Okay, I do love that.
Okay.
I
like that. Here's the one for me. It's a 5-star review from Clementine Rose Reads on Storygraph. Looking back, I can't decide whether to give this 1 star or 5.
Oh.
Damn.
I can see her point, though.
Yeah, I can.
It looks like the 5-star reviews kind of won out in this case, because on Goodreads, the rating is 4.4 out of 5, and on Amazon, it's a 4.8 out of 5. So, do you guys agree with those reviews? What is your quality rating?
My quality rate, this is like a very tough book to explain to people because I love it so passionately, but my quality rating is a 4. The reason it's a 4 is because the ending makes zero sense. It is a beautiful love story. I love it with every ounce of my being. The ending is a huge letdown. So yeah, that's my complicated take.
So I chose that one about don't know whether to give it 1 or 5 because I gave it a solid 3 because I didn't know what to do with it either. I've said before, when we bring up ACOTAR, I do not like change. I would much prefer we stick with Feyre and Rhysand. That being said, there was some good like character development, and Nesta is slightly more tolerable after this book, but I also hated the end. And like, it's pretty long with not as much action as the other books. It's a different kind of action in this book, if you know what I mean. But I kind of miss like the actual
wink, wink.
action, not the dirty action.
I mean, the last third of it is action.
Yeah,
action.
Yes. The middle third is all sex.
Yeah. Character development.
Sure.
Well, okay. So I originally gave it 5 stars after I read it on Goodreads, but I think that's my SJM bias a bit, where I just really liked up until the ending the storyline, and I was trying to block out that ending. So I think I'm going to end up giving it a 4-star because I'm probably more like a 4.5, but I'm going to round down because it's not quite a round up situation. So I think I'm going to agree with Casey. That ending really did ruin it.
It's such a shame because I love this book so much. It's my favorite love story I've ever read. Like, I cannot explain to people how much I love it. The ending makes no sense. It's the only time I've been reading an SJM book and thought, where the fuck was the editor?
And it does every character in the book dirty.
Yeah. There were a lot of choices made
like
in the ending.
She could have ended in a certain spot and it would have been chef's
perfect.
Kiss.
Yeah. So this will be probably the first time our readers or our listeners ever hear us actually criticize SJM.
Yeah.
Because
first and last time.
Yeah, there's no other book that I criticize.
Preach. Because this book deserved better.
Yeah.
True.
Okay. Well, now to get into our non-spoiler questions. Is the book more plot or character driven?
That's kind of hard on this one, because I feel like normally with SJM it's plot, but this one is so much about Nesta and Cassian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I actually think there's a very strong argument for character driven here. Mm-hmm. I think there are parts of the book that are plot driven, like the ending, which is more action-y. I think it reverts back to plot driven, but I think like the first 2/3 of the book is like exclusively character driven.
I mean, let's be honest, it's the length of like 3 or 4 normal books. So
it is. She's like, instead of giving Nesta her own 3 books, like Feyre and Rhysand, she gave Nesta 1 fatty. Like,
and we don't know if Nesta's going to continue. Like, she could be the next book's heroine again. We don't know.
Well, and for our listeners who are engaged with the series, if you don't know, the next installment of SJM's universe will come in the form of Crescent City 3. So we have to wait even longer to figure it out.
Which is coming out in 2023. So we're in the year that it comes out now.
Finally. But yeah, big bummer that SJM has been focusing on Crescent City. Even though I love Crescent City, I'm like, where's our next ACOTAR book?
Yeah, for sure. I think I can make the, yeah, I think it's character driven with a plot undertone. You could tell, like, especially at the end and the last third, where the plot is building for the next installment, and like you learn more about the new big bad because Highburn's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was the character driven of Nesta so that she can be prepared for the plot in the future.
How about the pacing? This book is long.
I mean, I'll always devour an SJM, but this is a little lengthy even for her.
Yeah.
It is.
This is the longest it took for me was this book.
Yeah. I loved it so much. I probably blew through the first two thirds, but the last third, you start getting into the ending stuff. And I think it's very funny that when you get to the actual action, I think it starts to stretch on too long. Like,
I disagree. I would say the opposite.
Really? You didn't like the first two thirds?
I mean, they were fine. I think you could have condensed it and had the same outcome.
There is a lot of sex.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, you could have removed that third of the book and got the same outcome.
No.
But,
no.
I think the last third's the most interesting part, but you know I'm all about the action and the drama. I love the girl power in the last third of the book.
That is one of my favorite parts of the book, but I love them training too, which comes in a little bit earlier. I can't like fully say everything because it's a spoiler, but once they get to like the culmination of everything, that's when the choices that I didn't really agree with started being made.
It's
and
like
then,
the end after the end that you get, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
It's the end after the end, but it's also the end of the second third. If that makes any sense to...
Nope, I'm lost now.
So I'll explain
said,
it.
We've said too much now.
Yeah, spoiler! We need to get to the spoilers.
I know. Okay.
But yeah, it kind of makes sense that I love this book so much because I love the very slow, introspective read. And this is like all about Nesta's journey and Caelan's, and like, where is the action at? Where is my like,
yeah,
he can ask.
Let's drop some bodies. Let's go.
And I agree with Casey. I actually did not like the last third quite as much as the first two thirds.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Team Feyre Rhysand, Team Nesta Slow Burn.
Oh, hey, no. Feyre Rhysand will always be number one in my heart.
Yeah. Nessian. Can we say that?
Nessian?
Yeah.
Oh.
I feel like that's officially a spoiler, but also it's set up so thoroughly that everyone knows that's what's going to happen.
I think it's on the book jacket.
Actually, I think you're right. I think it is on the book jacket.
That he's trying to help her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's in the...
Okay, so we can say Nessian.
But her temper isn't the only thing Cassian ignites. The fire between them is undeniable, and it only burns hotter as they are forced to work closely together.
Ooh, so true.
And healing in each other's arms. Yeah, it's all over this thing.
Yeah, the pacing didn't bother me, but I loved the development as it went. And there's not a lot of, again, as Caitlin said, there's not a lot of action, but there is a lot of wink wink action. So
we become a raunchy podcast.
We cannot do to this episode what we did to Love Hypothesis.
Yeah, we gotta skip over.
We apologize to our
I didn't
listeners.
Add any sex questions to this. There are no sex questions. So
that last one flustered me so bad things just came out of my mouth.
I'm honestly surprised you didn't cut out more. I was like, okay, Caelan left herself in. But yeah, so that's all we're going to say.
For honesty.
Just know there's sex in the other SJM books, but there's really sex in this one. So if the others were a lot, stop reading the series.
I am not quite as into the smut as the other two. I'm okay with, you know, I was mostly in this one to find the rest of the plot. I will say that. This one got a little...
Yeah, you read it for the plot, sure. Uh-huh.
I was waiting for Feyre and Rhysand to come back. I was like, where are they? Not in this bed. Anyway.
Okay, we're getting
skip.
Really sidetracked.
We obviously watch a movie about this. We have read other books by the author. We like all the characters. Okay, busy girl rating.
Oof. This is a 3 for me. It's hard to get through.
I would agree.
I mean,
Solid
okay, it
three.
is a quick read in the sense that like you want to keep reading, you want to keep picking it up, but it is thick.
Yeah. I'm going to leave it at a 4 because I think you can pick it up and put it back down. But it's big. Like, even I don't have the audacity to give it a 5, and I love it. Yeah. So enter at your own risk.
Yeah, I keep it at 3. But that's if you're a fan of the series. Like, if you've been struggling to get through the series, just DNF this. It's probably too much for you.
That's what I mean. Like, if you're a fan, there's no book that's too big or too long. Yeah. Like, you're in it to know the characters. But yeah, agreed. If you don't love the series by the time you get to A Court of Silver Flames, A, congratulations, because you have a lot of perseverance, and B, just stop.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies, but we can get to the spoiler
alert. Woo, woo, woo! Spoilers! So, the first thing I feel like we have to address is obviously the story is from Nesta's perspective. How did you guys feel about leaving
I wasn't as mad about it.
I didn't dislike the book. I just really miss Feyre and Rhysand.
I think I have actually a super unpopular opinion on this one. I would have read more of Feyre and Rhysand, but I was done hearing from them also. Like, I feel like they had done all they needed to do. They were fully developed characters. And so I think that this was like a great time in the series to change the perspectives.
I think I would have been more okay with the perspective change had she not randomly drug them back in at the very end and you didn't get any of their perspective in that dramatic, not necessary addition to the end of the book.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's my issue.
You guys already know one of my biggest, I have several, is that Feyre gets pregnant in Nesta's book. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Why did they tell the story of Feyre having a baby and almost dying from Nesta's perspective? It should have been in a book about Feyre.
And that's why I'm extra salty about not having her point of view in this book.
I would say there's a lot of Feyre in this book for it not to be about her, because she is a main plot point, and her and her pregnancy are a main plot point. Because like when you switch to Cassian's point of view, because Cassian is also a point of view in this book because it's Nesta and Cassian's love story, and you kind of need his perspective a bit because Nesta is so traumatized. So you kind of need the rational brain point of view, and he'll have conversations with Feyre about Nesta, but it always seems to come back to Feyre and always seems to come back to her pregnancy, which I thought it was too soon for her to be pregnant. I thought that was a weird addition. I thought maybe you could cut out the last 5 pages of Court of Frost and Starlight and just say, like, they're building a house together. Yay.
Right.
I mean, like, this book would have maybe got another star from me had it ended with all the stuff in the right and with the Valkyrie.
Yeah.
The rest of the stuff needed to be in another book. Like,
exactly.
Too much.
I mean, I think we're all in agreement. That's when, like, the second ending starts, where we're like, why the fuck is the book still happening? Like, why is it not over with the
Valkyrie? And it's hasty, which drives me nuts.
Yes. That's what I was like. I just feel like SJM did so many characters dirty with this momentous moment with all these characters that you've come to love and you've stuck with for so long, and rushed like a very important part of development in their story. I was like, this deserved more time and attention.
Yeah. So I don't hate Nesta's point of view. I like understanding her mental health and her recovery and the slow burn love, but there's too many little tidbits in here that need the old point of view.
Yeah, I don't think anything was too much for me until the pregnancy, and then I was like, no, that was just a bad decision. But I love Nesta's point of view. I read this in some of the reviews that people found it really refreshing to see the gang and Rhysand from a different perspective. And I loved that. I also This is my like huge soapbox. I think Nesta is one of the most unique main characters in a fantasy series, period. I like Feyre, but I think she's kind of basic. I think she's a typical hero. I think Nesta is a really gutsy choice, and you get to understand her so much, and she grows so much. I think she's so cool and unique, and I've never read any other book told from a perspective like hers. So
she's unapologetically selfish almost, and it's kind of refreshing to see a woman in that way without being a villain, because she's not a villain. She may be an anti-hero if you could make that argument, but she's a heroine of this book while also being incredibly flawed as a character, which you just don't see with a lot of female point of views and characters in books. So I think it's just super refreshing and cool for SJM to take this perspective.
Yeah, you get lots of books where like the main character falls in love with the brooding bad boy, but this is like you get the perspective of the brooding bad girl.
So yeah,
it's kind of a fun, it's like seeing inside Mr. Darcy's head, but a lot kinkier. Yeah.
And then Cassie with the puppy dog.
Yes. And I think that this like sort of anti-hero, difficult main character thing is done a lot with male main characters. And I think that no one has really done it. Well, I'm sure people have, but I just haven't read the books. But this is like, I think, the best mainstream example of a writer doing it for a female character. And I would also personally argue that a lot of Nesta's character traits are typical in main characters and no one cares. And so I love her.
Well, Okay. Speaking of Nesta and her training, so she kind of comes in to this book a drunk mess, and Reese is fed up, so he makes an ultimatum with her and everyone else in the inner circle that she has to live in the House of Wind 10,000 steps from the main village, and she has to train with Cassian. So what did you guys think of the book being broken down into her levels of training and her being forced to live in the House of Wind?
I really like the training aspect of it. That was something that I think consistently pushed the story forward for me. I think it's also really a good point to continue coming back to as like a physical demonstration of Nesta's recovery. And I loved that she was sort of stuck in the House of Wind. I love the relationship she develops with the house. I thought that was so cute. I do. Reese and honestly all of them annoyed me because I do feel like they treat Nesta unfairly sometimes, but she also like clearly needed an intervention. She was spiraling with like a capital S, chaotic, like it needed to happen.
Yeah, she needed rehab, and this was a version of rehab, which was diverting her anger and her trauma into physical preparedness and exercise and learning how to fight. And I thought that was really interesting. I love the 10,000 steps and her going, trying to go up and down and then her throwing up and then walking. Yeah. I was like, why would you go down without knowing that you could make it back up? Like, I would never.
Because her only end goal is to get to the alcohol. She didn't try to go back up.
Yeah. She's an addict. She's driven to like numb the pain.
My favorite part of this section, like the earlier section of the book in her training, well, basically her non-training section, the dinner table with her and Cassian and Asriel, is just always hilarious. And the tension is so funny.
Yeah, poor Az just has to sit and like watch two people who like have like this insane chemistry but also hate each other but also love each other but no one's saying it. I was like, God, I could never do it.
Yeah, and he's like a shadow singer, so you have no idea how like that's playing out in this situation and what he's feeling. So but, it's the chemistry and the quips between Nesta and Cassian during training were spot on. Very good.
Okay, but some of the best parts of being at House of the Wind is the priestesses in the library. So what do you think about them having her work with the priestesses who have all experienced trauma, sexual trauma, abuse in their roles, and they're now kind of like sheltered here. Like, how do you think that plays into Nesta's recovery?
I think it was a really smart choice, sort of like training as like a physical representation of her healing. This was sort of a representation of her actually doing the work to confront her pain, which and her self-loathing, which is like what made her so aggressive to others and so defensive were those like feelings about herself. And this is also obviously the origin of her camaraderie with the Valkyrie and Gwen. And learning about those things. And so the Valkyrie is one of my favorite parts of the novel. And so, yeah, I liked it.
Also, like, the priestesses needed a redemption arc after Ianthe. So thank God for Gwen.
They did.
Well, I guess they're different kind of priests. Like, they're reformed priestesses because they went through the priestess process, but then experienced intense trauma. So they ended up in Valaris and in this library where Rhys is taking care of them and, like, doesn't allow men in there unless they have express permission. And so I really liked them going into, I think it was book three is when we were introduced to them, Wings and Ruin. And I liked Clotho. And I thought that was a really, it just shows SJM's like thinking 20 steps ahead that like they become such an integral part of this book when they're introduced so far ahead. And so I just really loved how like they were kind of, how each of the priestesses was processing their own trauma and how like Nesta could see that and have like a representation of healing so that she had, she could also interact with people who experienced not the same trauma because not all, no trauma is the same, but just like, empathy.
Yes. I'm picking it
place.
Up. Yes. Safe space. Like, and feeling like, you can see people, like, evidence that you can heal when you've been broken, you know, and the priestesses were very quiet and, like, introspective. Like, it was a very introspective place, which I think was great for Nesta because she was a very, like, don't actually feel the feelings, don't actually think the thoughts and push
our
everyone
away.
Our
violent queen.
Yeah. Our angry queen. So I think it was, like, a different representation of how to handle your trauma.
I think it's interesting when it almost flips and Nesta is making so much progress that she invites now the priestesses in into her other world, the physical training.
Because that's what I think of it as almost like the yin and the yang in the story of like the action and the aggression is very Nesta and she takes to that a little bit more quickly than the quiet and the contemplation. But they both kind of need each other. Like, you have to do both to heal. And so the priestesses have, like, one part down and, like, Nesta has this other side. And she, like, part of her journey and her empowerment is, like, empowering others to, like, also, like, do both. And, like, both parts, like, push each other to do better.
Yeah, and I love that Cassian, originally they were training near the Illyrian camps, and then he noticed the reason why Nesta wasn't training is because she doesn't want to be looked at or looked down upon or like judged because she's not trained ever. She's not Feyre. Mm-hmm. She's never had like bow experience or fighting experience. And so they move it to the House of Wind, and then that allows for Emery, the Illyrian part of the Illyrian woman who's part of the Valkyries later on. And it allows for Gwen to join in, because if it was in the Illyrian war camps, the Illyrians would have never allowed those three women to be training. So I think that was really an interesting part of the novel and weaving through that training process.
When I just love how cute it is as the priestesses slowly pop up one by one, once they see what's happening, it was just so wholesome girl power, healing, supporting each other. It was cute.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
We've mentioned it a couple of times now, but what did y'all think of like this Valkyrie legend? And like,
I loved it. I loved everything about the Valkyrie. This, and side note, I love, this is kind of not what the question is, but I love that the three girls end up competing in like the Illyrian challenge. What's it called? The right. Yeah, the
blood right.
The blood right. I did not like, though, that there were weapons smuggled in, and that they didn't actually get a chance to finish the rite. This is where the book derails. They should have finished the rite. The girl should have won and then won the respect and done the damn thing. Two of them finished. But then that's when, like, the weird evil queen just, like, pops up out of nowhere.
Yeah, stuff got weird. And then it was just, like, you were grasping, trying to figure out what was happening as it like, steamrolled on.
It was whiplash.
Yeah, you were like, I'm sorry, what? Like, it should have been a traditional rite where they competed with the guys per usual and they should have won. And then the book should have ended. Yeah, and the book should have been over.
Yeah, she reunites with Cassian and then that's the end.
Mm-hmm. Because I loved the rite. It was very like Harry Potter, Goblet of Fire, Hunger Games vibes, which is like so cool. So I was like in love with it.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I just love the camaraderie between the three of them. It's so cute.
Yeah.
Female friendships.
It's also because something I thought about when I was reading the book is that Nesta and Elaine are really forced to live in Feyre's world and with Feyre's family and her friends and her mate when they become Fae. And I think it's kind of not unfair, but I can see why it's so hard for Nesta because those aren't her friends. So that's not her family. These aren't people she chose. And so I love that you get to see Nesta find people who she actually like relates to and not be forced to sort of live in Feyre's world, which I think is also much healthier for her because mm-hmm. they're just not the same.
So we've talked about Feyre being pregnant, and one of the big secret that everyone's keeping from her is that because apparently she had sex with Rhys in her Illyrian form because she's a shapeshifter, her baby has wings, but she is just a normal fae, so her giving birth to bat-winged baby is going to kill her. No woman has survived it. Apparently, C-sections aren't a thing there. There's a plot hole there, to say the least. What did you think? Then Nesta's the one that reveals it to her in a fit of rage, and it's kind of the end. It's the snapping point for Nesta, where she realizes how bad she's or how low she's gotten, how bad she's been to Feyre, and it's where she kind of breaks and then is reborn. What did you think about this plot line, but also that breaking point for Nesta?
I admired that she did it. Did she do it correctly? No. But like everyone else was tiptoeing around poor pregnant Feyre and like not going to tell her she was dying. So like props to Nesta for actually saying something to her.
I felt the same way. It's definitely not Nessa's most likable moment. Like, clearly not the way it should have been said, just like Caitlin was saying, agreed with that. But it was also like, yeah, Nesta was the only one with the guts to do it. I personally felt the whole time, like, not telling Feyre was, like, a violation of her bodily autonomy. It was a violation of her rights as, like, A, a human being, and B, as a mother. And so, I was glad someone finally did it.
I will say, like, I totally agree 100% with what you said. I mean, was it going to change Feyre's mind? Was she going to like have an abortion? No, that's not Feyre. But I think it was so interesting right as like Nesta snaps and is like, you're going to die if you have this baby. And then Feyre like clutches her stomach. She's like, I realize that my mother never loved me as much as my sister loves her unborn child. And that just like broke her. I think that was such perfect writing. And like, I just really liked that tipping point, although I definitely did not like the pregnancy. I did not like that C-sections weren't really a thing and it didn't make any sense.
Like, you are magical. Do something magical.
Yeah.
They were like, for some reason, in this only this one circumstance, no magic or any of the beautiful technology we've developed works. I was like, no.
And
but
then,
yeah.
And then at the end, Nessa's just like, boom, baby, switched your hips up. You're good.
Oh my God. Yeah. We're getting to that.
Literally, it's such a stupid, jacked up, like, what?
Oh, by the way, fix also, mine too so I can keep screwing Cassian. The
oh
end.
Oh my God.
Because even though we're all fucking 20-year-old post-humans now living with 100-year-old fae men, we're all already thinking about having babies. I was
so like, stupid.
Yeah, sorry, I just had to skip to that part since we were talking about it, but I hated it.
Do we just want to talk about it?
Yeah, let's just do it now. I hated it so much.
I have nothing else to say. I hated it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just...
So for viewers that experienced a whiplash here, we're at the end of the book. The
okay. End if of you the... read the book, you know what's happening. You're angry too.
Okay. But I'm just going to recap. The end of the book, Nesta comes out of the right. She comes home to Feyre giving birth, early labor. Feyre gives birth, slashes cut open. She's dying. And because of that, Rhys is dying because they made a promise.
Oh, yeah. The
again.
Other stupidest thing ever.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah. So dumb. And then the baby is basically dead because it's too early. So Nesta gives up all of her like godly powers and her death powers to bring Feyre back to life, which I was okay with bringing her back to life. If you were going to go through the storyline, yes, you need to fucking bring Feyre back to life.
Okay, and but how many times are we bringing Feyre back to life? Like, come on.
Yeah. But she That's gives what, up her yeah. powers, which we had been spending this whole book developing and how they're so deadly and they could control this like death trove and were so cool. And then she just gives them up and then like has birthing hips so that she can birth Illyrian babies. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. I think her power is going to come back somehow, but I completely agree with you. It's like, we just spent this whole novel talking about these powers and the big bad is now this huge, powerful being who has like similar type powers. So the setup for Nesta to take on the new big bad is perfect. So it's like, why are we like fucking around in all this bullshit?
Yeah,
that doesn't
because
make
Elaine's
sense.
Actually going to take on the big bad.
Yeah. Dude,
that's why
Suck
it.
I saw
it's
this
Elaine.
In the reviews. I saw this in the reviews too. This girl was saying, she's like, when Nesta told Elaine to fuck off, that was the best scene in the novel.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, yeah. But anyway, completely agree with everything y'all have said. We all hate it for completely justified reasons. It's also one of my huge pet peeves when authors bring people back from death. They've now basically done it in this series 3 times. And if every time a character that you love dies, you know they're going to be brought back to life somehow. There are no stakes. The novel has no stakes anymore.
Yeah, except if you read her other books, you know. No rules.
People actually die in the other series, I swear.
Yeah. But that's what, like, she's known for being such a savage writer who does kill off beloved characters and who... you know, writes a whole love story and then is like, just kidding, this man's abusive. Like, she does these very admirable, gutsy, artistic choices. So I'm like, why are we copping out and bringing everybody back from the brink of death constantly? It's
All
dumb.
I'm saying is she better be taking so long to release the next book because she's clean and shut up.
Yeah. She better never bring us another ending like this ever again. SJM, don't do that to me.
I don't need more kids. I don't.
No. 20-year-olds do not need kids to complete their storyline. They can have a complete storyline without that.
Feyre is younger than all of us.
That
was so upsetting.
Yeah.
No, that was... You didn't have to just put it out there.
Yeah, that
no,
hurt.
No, I had to.
That hurt.
Lord. You mentioned the new big bad. Do you want to explain?
Okay, this is my other pet peeve with this book. The new big bad, I like. He's the puppet master of the big bad of this book, which is much like A Court of Thorns and Roses. The big bad is Koshai. He's this like Swan Lake type god figure who is on this lake. He was the one who trapped Vasa, the mortal queen, from the previous books. And he's trying to collect these artifacts called the Death Trove, which are like a mask and a couple of other items. So the gang, the Scooby gang, is trying to go and collect these Death Trove items. And Nest is the one that collects basically all of them and wears them. And it turns out she's like the god of death and like can do all these cool things with these trove items, which is another why I'm mad about her powers being lost in this end of this book. I know you say they're coming back. God, I hope so.
But, it was a little extra, quite frankly. I was like,
yeah. But the big bad of this book is Breolin, who's the mortal queen who turned into a crone at the end of A Court of Mist and Fury to the cauldron, and she's pissed because she lost her beauty. So she's trying to steal the power from Nesta because she believes Nesta stole her beauty. which doesn't make any sense, but okay.
Well, Nesta robbed the cauldron, remember?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But then she just dies at the end, just so easily by Nesta's hand. And I'm just like, this was anticlimactic.
She's a human. She was barely in the book. Like, she's barely even fucking mentioned. And then she's just there at the end. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
They just abduct them from the Blood Rite and are like, here you go.
Yeah, like, she's the one giving like, weapons to the Blood Rite. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
How did you hijack this? Did you just, like, infiltrate all the Illyrians?
It's grossly underdeveloped. It gives you story whiplash, and it makes no sense.
And quite frankly, I read that so long ago, I even forgot about this Koshi sushi guy. And the swan girl. Like, I forgot about all of that part, because it's not that important yet. Yeah,
I did not forget about it, because it was being set up for the next book.
Yeah.
So it wasn't supposed to be in this book as it should have been, you know, appropriately pushed on, but, you know, it's being set up.
When I think back on this book, I'm like, oh yes, Nesta, healing, falling in love, Blood Rite, baby. I forget there's like five other plots that happen in the same five pages.
Well, and to be fair, A Court of Thorns and Roses is not the same big bad, but he's mentioned in the other two books. So it makes sense if you're thinking them as a trilogy. So if there's two more books to like flesh out Koshi, and I actually liked the character. I think the Swan Lake vibes, godlike vibes is cool.
He was developed pretty well. Like, it seems like he's going to be a strong villain, but he doesn't take a huge part in the book. But neither does the queen, who shows up at the end. So
that's one of my biggest pet peeves of this book, besides the pregnancy, is the queen.
Yeah, it's so like, what?
She's like forgettable, not powerful, dies almost instantly.
This is a big thing that I think should have been more developed in the book as well, but has never really come to the forefront, is Nesta's relationship with their mom. Because you get sprinklings of it, but I think that's sort of the final piece you need to like truly understand Nesta, is her trauma with her mother. And I think it would really kind of like sew up the final piece of her like self-loathing, why she deals with her problems and her aggression the way she does. Like, it's clearly from like her mother training her to be this like cold, heartless, ruthless bitch, and like her mom didn't love her and used her and taught her to use other people, and that's why she's the way she is. And I'm like, why isn't this a bigger part of the book? Like, I really wish it was like talked about more.
Yeah, I do wish that Nesta's mom, at least we had like flashbacks almost of her like remembering her trauma with her mom. I mean, you get that kind of with the dancing scenes and being taught how to be the most beautiful girl in the room so she could capture a rich man's attention.
Yeah, like literally being taught to be an object and or to appear as an object, but to really be always using others. And you do get those sprinklings of it, but especially because Feyre doesn't remember her mom, I think it would explain sort of like this missing piece of their family history.
Yeah. Her mom was so focused on Nesta that like Elaine and Feyre were like left off to the side. It would have been interesting to hear it from Nesta's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And also it would have been interesting in the context of Nesta and Cassian's relationship. Because like throughout the book, they talk about how like Cassian doesn't feel he's worthy of Nesta because Nesta was trained to capture a prince's attention. And he's just a not high fae, an Illyrian warrior, even though he's like one of the most powerful fae in the realm.
And he's so sexy.
So what did y'all think of their love story? What are the similarities and differences between Rhys and Feyre? The spice level goes up a ton. I promise we won't discuss in depth, but figured I'd mention that.
Similarities? There are wings involved.
A wink. I mean, they're both enemies to lovers, but in kind of slightly different ways.
Yeah.
And also both really bonded over supporting each other and understanding each other's trauma. I think that was a big similarity. But yeah, other than that, both the characters are just so different that other than that, it's like a completely different love story.
Yeah. I will say their love takes on a lot more of a physical aspect. Like, I'm not going to talk about specifically, this is more of a generalization of like Feyre and Rhys were more like emotionally bonded and through their Dementi. I don't know. Dementi.
Mating bond?
No. Their power to go into people's minds.
Oh. Through their mind reading.
Yeah. Dementi? Yeah.
Dementi. I think it's Dementi, but I could be wrong. Through their mind reading capabilities, they have this like other level of emotional like connections. So that's kind of where we explored it more, was like them talking to each other through each other's minds and a lot more of that emotional building. But like both Cassian and Nesta, because he's the war general and she's just like a very physical person, you see their relationship come about through more physical ways, and then that's how they build their love for each other, which it was kind of interesting seeing those two different relationships, because there are those relationships in real life.
Yeah, because they definitely have a very strong emotional bond, but the development of that bond was completely different. Like, I think I agree with you, because Feyre and Rhysand had these like mind powers, I think that fostered like emotional closeness a lot faster, because you can't just sort of explain with words badly who you are. Like, you can literally show someone, and like they can actually be like in your mind, in your body, understanding it. Cassian and Nesta have to communicate like us stupid mortals that are bad at talking about our feelings and don't even really understand our feelings. And so I didn't think it was better or worse. It was just different.
I guess my question is, where do you think this series will go next? Because I'm seeing a lot of speculation. And one of those speculations is an Asriel point of view and an Asriel romance. And there are a lot of opinions on who he should end up with, Elaine or Gwen or Bryce even. But you don't know who that is yet. So what do y'all think about the next steps?
I am a thumbs down on an Asriel book. I don't know. I know there's a contingent of the fandom that is like effing obsessed with him, like loves him to death. I think he's a little bit of a cringe sad boy, which he does have like some of the most significant trauma of everyone in the novel. So I'm sure, you know, SJM would find a way to force me to love him. But I would be a lot more interested if it was sort of like Elaine with Asriel features versus like Asriel being like the true main one, kind of like this one is like Nesta with like Cassian features, I think. But I don't think Asriel and Elaine should end up together. I don't know.
I think if, for those who have read Crescent City, I think what would make sense, at least in Crescent City 3, I'm sorry, a Rhysand point of view to understand how worlds are colliding.
Okay. Yeah, he has some of him and, yeah, actually just him. He'd be one of the only people who could provide the context. Right. But yeah, okay. Should we maybe just say, if you've reached this point, you probably already know, but SJM is combining all of her other series into like the same universe. And so in Crescent City, the third book takes place in Feyre and Rhysand's, you know, the gang, the Scooby gang, as Catherine calls them.
Or so we think.
Yes, it takes place in
the world. Has definitely crossed.
Yeah. And so, yeah, some of the ACOTAR characters are going to be in Crescent City, and it's unclear how that will impact the ACOTAR trajectory.
Yeah, I guess it's going to be completely wrong knowing SJM, so.
I actually, this is more of a Crescent City critique. I would probably stan a Bryce and Asriel match.
I know.
So a lot of people online believe that SJM does this like three loves thing. So like a false love, lusty love, which was Feyre and the boy from the town, and then what you think is your true love, Tamlin, and then your actual true love. So that would be like a wolf boy hunt part three.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
I've seen those as well. I think it would be interesting. I think really they're only basing it off of like he holds truth teller and she holds the star sword.
I am not totally sure where the book is going, or if Nesta will get more books, or if that she'll start doing all three sisters' POVs get involved.
Lucien book! Woo!
I would be excited for a Lucien book, though, because he's so morally gray that I would
read it. I thought you'd be like, hell no.
No, I would read it, because if it was like Lucy and Elaine's story and they didn't end up being romantic mates, I would love that book. I think that would be so interesting.
I will read anything SJM writes. I don't like Lucien, though, so.
But no one liked Nesta, and now here we all are.
I was okay with Nesta. I thought she was interesting.
I was also okay with her.
But still don't love her.
Now I love her.
What books would y'all suggest then?
Why are we even asking this question?
We can't.
Read the other SJM books. That's the only recommendation.
Okay,
possible.
That's what I was going to say. Is you finish ACOTAR as it stands. Congratulations. You finished the 5 books.
Now you have to read Crescent City.
Yes, because Crescent City 3 will feature your favorite characters. So you kind of have to read Crescent City 1 and 2, which are also.
Before reading any of those, you can catch all the Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Right.
You can literally. They're very long. They're also blocks. But I feel like it was easier for me to binge Crescent City than it was ACOTAR almost.
But Throne of Glass is very bingeable.
That's true.
And eventually features who I think is maybe all of SJM's, out of all her books, strongest male love interest, which is saying a lot. So
even has a cameo from some of our favorite characters.
Yep. So just read every SJM book. That's our recommendation to you.
So there's our like little advocacy to get other people into our little cult.
You don't like Marvel and you think that's too masculine, too fighty, this is your new Marvel.
Yes. This is your new Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Marvel, like all of them connect and collide. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is your new cinematic universe.
Right. Marvel, but with some actual unique characters and unique storylines.
Yes.
And love.
And love. Love written for women.
Okay.
All right. That's it.
These are
rate and review.
Maybe you hate Nesta. Maybe you hate Feyre. I don't know. You can tell us. Let's talk about it. We can do more on our episodes.
Yeah, this is probably already too many.
No, we got to do Crescent City 1 and 2 before 3 comes out.
Oh my god.
A few months without any SJM from us.
Yes, yeah. It'll be a few months.
Yes, we'll give y'all a break.
If you just want us to kill it completely, at Busy Girls Pod, send us hate mail. I don't know.
Oh no, I'm not killing it completely. The week that Crescent City 3 comes out, I expect an episode.
That book's going to be like 2,000 pages long, Catherine.
I don't care.
Anyway. Okay. Yeah, that's it. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.